God is awesome.
Yes, he is.
I thank you all for coming out this morning to dwell in the presence of the Lord. We're going to have a good time in him this morning.
Amen.
Because it's he who deserves all of the praise.
Yes.
You know, we're celebrating 65 years as a church. That is a blessing.
Amen.
65 years.
Amen.
You know, but before we get into that, there's a couple of things that I want to go over with you. I want you to think about some of the areas of your life, and I want you to pick one. I don't care if it's career, if it's spiritual, if it's financial, if it's your love life, if it's your finances, if your health. I want you to pick one of those areas in your life and just think about it to yourself, whatever that area in your life is. I want you right now, not out loud, but to yourself, to ask God for one thing in one of those areas. I don't care what it is. Ask God for one thing in one of those areas. See, I know if God sustained this church for 65 years, he can do something in your life. You know what? So I want you to pick something. I want you to pick whatever it is. Everybody got something? I want you to double whatever it is you just asked God for. See, a lot of times when we ask God for something, we get it. We like, man, that wasn't enough. So I want you to step out by faith and double whatever it was that you asked God for right now out of your mind. No matter what it is, I want you to double it right now. See, we're going to be talking about a lot of things this morning, but I want you to think about what you're asking God for. See, God cares about the things that we want as well. Okay? So before we get into that, I think this church, since it's been here 65 years, there is a lot to learn from the history of this church.
Right. Amen.
Do you know that this Liberty Temple Church was founded in a tent? In a tent. See, a lot of times our life is like that. You know what? We set up shop in a tent, and we think like, man, I don't know where in the world I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do because things don't look optimistic. I can't imagine a tent turning into a church. I can imagine a tent turning into a camp or a campfire, but not a church. See, if you had a vision, if God gives you a vision, he will give you provision.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody that heard me this morning. No, ain't nobody had God. You nothing for them, I see. See, if God gives you a vision, he will also give you provision. See, but things start to creep in and doubt starts to creep in. So the church goes from a tent and it goes to a mega church. And you say, wow, ain't God good? And then guess what happens? It's like our life. See, we come up, things happen for us, and then all of a sudden they start to trail off a little bit in the natural. We start to see things in our lives, and we're like, oh, man, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't God because people started to leave me. You ever had somebody that told you they love you, they never leave you, and they left anyway? See, there was members in this church that said, I love God, I'll never leave. And guess what? They did.
Come on.
I ain't tripping on them. I ain't mad at them. What I'm telling you is, sometimes that happens in our lives too.
Yes, yes.
And we don't understand it. See, people don't show up like they used to. Things start to slowly change, and then your church moves buildings. And you say, well, this was a building that was designed for the kids. What happened? Where's God? God must have left. God is still here, just like he is in your life. See, sometimes you go through things in your life where people looking like, man, you used to have a good job, and
you used to have
some money, and I look at you, you looking shaky. But that does not mean God left you. See, remember, you started in a tent. See, I think we forget about that. You started in a tent, but we don't remember those tent days because we done got too good for the days of the tent. See, you used to sit on wooden chairs, but you done got too good for that. You forgot what it was like to start in a tent. So we started to look at our lives and we say, man, what's going on, God? Are you moving? Are you doing the things that you say you can do? And all that kind of good stuff. And this church had three basic principles that if you apply to your life, God will bless you. We're going to cover every last one of them. Okay. Just three of them, really. The first one is hear from God.
Uh-huh.
Right. You got to be able to hear from God. See, I'm way off. messed up my slides already. Don't worry about me. I'm over there tripping today. I'm like, man, it's not right. It's not right. But you got to be able to hear from God. The second thing is you have to have faith regardless of how the outcome looks. Boy, that's a tough one. You say amen now. You say amen now when you say amen when your situation jumps up. The last thing, you got to be able to take action and keep moving forward. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Proverbs. You should already have it, I'm assuming. The book of Proverbs. This is our theme this year, our scriptures. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Ooh, that's a tough one, man. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's be real. It's hard turning things over to God. Man, you don't know what he wants you to do. You're like, Lord, I'm listening, and it sounds like he ain't saying nothing back. You're like, Lord, please help me. You know what? I want to go on. And it feels like it's just too long to wait when you want some things from God. And guess what? Doubt starts to creep in. Doubt will make you say, uh-oh, man, ain't nothing going on. God ain't got nothing to say to me and all that other kind of good stuff. So I want you to do me a favor. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 3:1. I'm going to be going over a little bit more scripture than I normally will. I'm not going to be diving into a huge detail of them, but these stories mean something. So 1 Samuel 3:1, when you have it, say amen. And you might have it. Ain't nobody got it, I see. Samuel, near the front. Near the front. You know, you get in church, and you don't want to make them think you don't know the Bible, so you just start skimming through instead of going in that index in the front. I don't know for that. They're like, they don't think I don't read my Bible. No, I'm going to 1 Samuel. That's all right. Go on and get it. Then if not, just go digital then. If you got to, you want to be able to fake it, it's all good. 1 Samuel 3:1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. See, the word precious means rare.
Right.
I want you to imagine that. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. And that vision we're talking about is a divine message from God. See, you try to figure out what your purpose is in God, and sometimes it feels like it's rare that he's talking to you.
Come on now. Come on now.
See, now if Samuel, who was anointed, and God would talk through him to the king.
Yeah.
If Samuel didn't recognize God's voice, don't you think you might have a problem?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough. It's, you know, that, but it's important. See, it sometimes feels like in my life, and I'm living in the days of Samuel. Sometimes it seems like I don't understand my purpose in God because I want to hear from him more. Right? I don't know if your life is anything like that, but you're like, man, God, what's going on? I'm going through all this stuff. Sometimes you feel lost, confused, out of touch with God's will. That's important. Remember that thing we talked about at the beginning, the thing that you wanted? We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about God's will.
Come on now.
It's easy to be able to do that. And then let's go to verse 4. Verse 4 says that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. And in verse 5 he says, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Lie down again. And he went to lay down. See, what happened is God was calling out to Samuel, and he thought it was Eli because they was in the same house. See, you know what? We look at that, we say, man, he didn't recognize God's voice. You cannot recognize God's voice unless you have a relationship with him. It requires a relationship. See, a lot of times we don't want to think that. We think, see, the voice of God here was audible. I don't know about you, but God doesn't speak to me like that. It's not like, GC, I love you. Come on in. Like, God ain't be talking like that. You know, we be looking up for thunder and lightning to roll out. Nicole, you are my chosen people. Walk thou to the corner and turn left, and he will heal you. That ain't what God is. See, we read this and we like, oh man, God, I must not have heard from you because you ain't talked to me like this. I couldn't hear you out loud like somebody was calling me. God speaks to people differently.
Yes, does,
we have to recognize that. It does not mean God's not talking to you because you don't hear, thus said the Lord from on high. Ooh, thunder. We are expecting God to appear, so we think it's not him, and we miss what he's asking us to do. Amen?
Amen.
And then verse 6, it says, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. Thou did call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. See, God was saying, Samuel, the king is here.
Amen.
See, but he didn't recognize that. He didn't know the king was there. And look at this. Look at verse 7. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Because you need a relationship, you, God is speaking to you, and you think it's not him. You think it's indigestion because you ate pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning, knowing you ain't had no business doing it. And God is speaking to you. See, you have to have a, when you have a relationship with somebody, you kind of know how they are. And you kind of know how they act. Let me give you an example. I had a guy at work I used to work with. And I worked with him, and he was having problems with his wife. He was like 67 years old, and him and his wife texting. I'm like, man, what you doing texting? Get on up out of here, right? So I said, you know what, man? I'm going to fix this for you. And I took his phone, and I started texting his wife, pretending like I was him, right? And I started texting his wife, and I'm like, I'm about to make this thing right for you, bro. Like, I got you. You can go back and do some work. And I'm talking to his wife, and she says, you know what? This just don't sound like you. Are you a new man right now? Like, this ain't nothing. This ain't even, she actually typed me, this don't even sound like something you would say. But guess what? When you don't have a relationship with God, that's what we like. We like, it don't sound like something God would tell me. Because we don't have that relationship that we need to have with him.
Amen.
See, it's easy to have a relationship, and it won't even take much time. You can do it in 20 minutes a day. You say, oh, man, I think I got to, that ain't God talking right now. They're like, oh. Listen, you can spend 10 minutes in God's word, and 10 minutes, instead of begging, listening to him.
Figuring out
what he has for you. Talk to him.
That's right.
Talk to God.
That's right.
Not like, God, you know I need you.
Come on.
Listen, man, me above anybody, I spend more time begging than I do anything else. God, come on, won't you do it? Won't you do it? So I know, believe me. And then, let's go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Right?
Yeah.
And in verse 9, it says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, lie down, and it shall be, if he called thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now let me break it down for you. We're not going to read the rest of these verses right now. But this is, the question might be to you, why did God do it this way? See, God could have made himself appear even more clear to Samuel than the audible voice. But guess what? God needed to deal with Eli.
Come on.
See, God needed to deal with Eli. So guess what happened? So Samuel didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. So Eli said, man, go in there and lay down. It's God trying to talk to you. See, and then what God did had a prophecy for Eli through Samuel.
Come on now.
Bad news.
Come on now.
But see, Eli wouldn't have believed that word if he didn't know for himself that Samuel, God was trying to talk to Samuel. See, sometimes it might require somebody else to help you a little bit. And sometimes God might be speaking to you to be able to help somebody else, but you don't want to act because you're like, no, God, I don't want to do it. It might not be you. We have to start moving forward and doing the things of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
See, God has a purpose. He has a purpose. purpose in your life, we have to establish a relationship with
God. Yeah,
that's the first thing.
Amen?
Amen.
The second thing is we have to have faith regardless of how the outcome looks.
That's right. Ooh,
we.
That's right.
Everybody straight on me now. Y'all like, let's look at this. Before, now this is me talking right now. This is me. I think the Bible, every Bible, whether it's digital or in your hand, should come with two warnings on the front of it. Two. Look, in fact, I would write it in the law if I could. I'm going to give you the first one right now.
All
right. When you read your Bible, everything happens quicker than it seems. See, just because they were sick in verse 3 and they were healed in verse 4 doesn't mean it happened that quick. See, a lot of times we read the Bible and we might get discouraged because we like, man, they were sick, God, and now you healed them just like that. Well, they went through some things. See, you cannot omit the suffering just because God healed them like that. Amen? See, a lot of times we just want it fast. I got news for you, and you might not like this. So you got God's will, like we just talked about. God has spoken to you in your relationship with Him. Just because God speaks doesn't mean that your traveling is going to be easy. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to be easier. Turn with me to Hebrews 10 chapter and the 36th verse. Hebrews 10 and 36. See, just because God speaks doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Hebrews 10th chapter 36th verse. I'm going to have it up on the screen if you don't have it, so you're good. In the 36th verse, it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." See, because you do the will of God, ye might receive the promise. See, you got to have patience for this thing. You got to have faith regardless of the outcome.
Amen.
See, I'm going to tell you a story about Joseph. We're not gonna turn to it. I'm going to tell you the story about Joseph. You can go back and read it on your own time. Joseph had a dream that his brothers was bowing down to him. The sun and moon was bowing down to him. He was in charge of the land. He had a dream like that. Now that seems like a blessing when you get God. You know it's from God. You ain't guessing. You know it's from God. And you like, God, yes, I'm going to be the man. Right? So what he do? Joseph went and told his brothers. They like, man, who is this guy? You ain't nobody. They sold him into slavery. His own brothers. My brother here, I wouldn't sell him into slavery. Even though I used to do some crazy things with him, I wouldn't sell him into slavery. They sold their brother into slavery. Now imagine, you doing the will of God. God's made you a promise. And now your own family turned against you? I know ain't nobody in here ever had no family problems but mine. You know, y'all ain't never had no family problems. See, when you go and you think you got some good news, you think the people gonna be happy for you, you gotta have faith regardless of the outcome. I want you to imagine God telling you you about to rule and all of a sudden you a slave. You already wasn't high up, but now you Lord and you was. Is there something below the tent? Is there like a campfire revival? A twig revival or something? Listen, something lower than the tent. You a slave. Imagine trying to be faithful doing it and holding on to God's promise. The words say you got to have patience. Woo! So he gets sold into slavery. And then he works his way up anyway. And then the wife of the person he was serving decides she had to get a piece of that. She's like, I'm about to holler at you, my man. Come on over to the room. Listen, it is what it is. I ain't right. I ain't right. That's what the word. Hey, it's in the word. Right. So he did the honorable thing and said, I'm not doing this, woman. No way. Ran up out of there. She caught some clothes from him and then said like he tried to get with me. So this guy, God tells him, people are going to bow down to you. Your own family sell you into slavery. You're doing the right thing. You're making a come up. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And then you get thrown into jail off of a story. Because my mom here, I don't want to say the L word, you know. A story. Right? So the woman I told a story on him. And he goes to jail. Now I want you to imagine how you have faith in that situation regardless of the outcome. See, God has promised you some things,
and you think
ain't no way it must not have been God because of the way your situation looks.
Right.
It's easy to do that. See, when you've been lied on, sold out, it's easy to give up on the promise that God has for you.
It's an easy thing to do. Yeah.
I couldn't blame Joseph for saying, look, man, this is not in the cards. So then he gets to jail. And he interprets a dream for somebody. They're like, man, when I get out, I got you. I'm going to tell the king, man, we're going to get you out. Man, that guy got out of jail and forgot all about Joseph.
Yeah.
Imagine how strong your faith has to be to still think God might do something for you. It would seem almost impossible that God can do it. But see, our lives are a lot like that. It feels like that. You're like, man, God, I know you promised me something, but my job, it only pays $8 an hour. How am I going to ever have any money? Oh, God, you know what you promised me? Healing, but it's been hurting. The pain's got worse, and it's spread it from one leg to the next. God, how can you do it? Man, God, I've been wanting you to reveal your word to me, but you ain't saying nothing to me. God, my job, my boss stinks, man. I get on the job, and they're going on and on. It's easy to think that God will not move. But do you have faith regardless of how the outcome looks? Amen?
Amen.
See, I don't know if you've ever had a low moment in your life and you just thought like there is no way out of this. See, this is our way of understanding, not God's way. See, God has a plan for us. You know, your faith has to be rooted in the things of God, and that is not easy to do. I'm not going to hold you up. It's not easy to do. I had a friend in college. His name, my brother don't remember his name. His name was Big J. I drove a 1994 Saturn. This was what it looked like, Big J getting in and out of my car. Right? I mean, it was a process. Big J, I had a 94 Saturn. Big J, man, he was 6'7", 350, but he was like, he was quick, man. He was like a, he wasn't like a sloppy looking guy. He was, you know, kind of built up. So, Big J, we were playing basketball. And Big J, this is like me and Big J playing basketball. So, what happened was, Big J, like if I had a problem with somebody, Big J was the guy I was going to call. If I wanted to get you, I would call Big J. You know, I know ain't none of y'all have done that before. You know? So we playing basketball, and Big J, he just moving these guys out of the way. Just boom, boom, they scared of him. And I'm getting mad. I'm like, come on, man, get him. He ain't nothing, blah, 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 blah. So I said, you know what, I got him. Forget this. I got mad, I got him. So first time down the court, Big J get the ball, and I'm behind him. And he, boom, busts me on out the way, and then laid the ball up. I'm like, look, yeah, little man, what's up? And I'm like, oh, man. You know, and the guy's like, man, let me get back on him, man. That was too easy. Let me get back on him. I'm like, no, I got him. So Big J goes back down the court. And I'm mad because, I mean, he just, you know, bodied me on out the way. So Big J came down, got the ball again. He bounced that ball. Boom. I moved out the way. He fell. Ooh, he got mad. And so I started talking about him like, no, oh, look at you, you good for nothing, all this other stuff. I mean, I'm talking big mess to this guy. And he get down the court time and time again, and he kept missing. And I'm on him, and I'm just talking everything in the world. I'm talking so much junk that you would not believe. I'm feeling good. I'm like, yeah, now what? You ain't nothing. You this, you that. And I'm just acting all crazy, jumping up, acting a fool. And then, so Big J got mad. He threw an elbow at me. Okay, so I said, okay, that's how we doing it? Okay. All right, that's how we doing it. So you did this. So now every time Big J got the ball, I mean, with all my might, I'm jumping on him, boom, just foul him. And he got mad. I mean, he's like, don't foul me no more. I'm like, man, you can say that to them. You ain't gonna say that to them. Do whatever I want to do. He got down the court again. I'm like, boom, fouled on me. He was mad. He's like, you foul me again, we fight. I'm like, well, we gonna fight then. We gonna fight then. Because you gotta have faith regardless of what you think the outcome's gonna be. You gotta have faith regardless of what you think the outcome's gonna be. So, Big J get down the court again. He get the ball and just in motion, running star. I'm tackling him like I'm playing football, right? Of course, he ain't move all like that. I'm making it seem like I had more damage than I did. And he got mad and he was ready to fight. He was like, I'm about to kill you. And he started coming at me. And guess what? You going to think God saved my life, but I'm going to be honest with you. I think I was about to win that fight. I promise you. Like, I'm not even joking. Big J was coming after me, and his brother was holding him back. I'm like, if you wanted to get out, his brother like 6'2". I'm like, if you wanted to get out, you could get out. I'm right here. If you want to get out, you can get out. And I'm talking big, but I mean it. I mean, to this day, I really think I would have won that fight. I'm being dead serious. And guess what? Sometimes you gotta have that faith, and thank God he didn't make me prove it. See, I'm happy he didn't make me prove that I was gonna win that fight, because I can walk around today. See, I've been beat up before. My uncle, who's here today, got me beat up before. He wanna have me fighting a neighbor down the street. The little boy, because we're saying him and the uncle getting to it, him and the other uncle getting to it. So he wants me, the nephews, to fight it out. What? So a couple times I got the guy down the street. I got it. I'm like, all right, come on. And one time, man, I was trying some karate stuff, man. He lumped me up. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. Mom's like, go back and fight. I'm running home. Hey, and we were playing basketball, so I done been beat up during basketball before. But that day, I felt convinced that I was gonna win.
Come on.
See, your life, nothing in your life might look like you should have that victory or that power or that conviction that you're gonna do. But God, even when we wrong, steps in and takes care of us. I see the PowerPoint went out, that's okay. The very third thing we're gonna go to is you have to take action and you have to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
See, I gave you one warning late on the Bible. Everything happens sooner. I mean, it looks like it happens quick. It seems quicker than it did, right?
Right.
The second warning label is because God can do anything doesn't mean you have to do nothing. Because God can do anything, it doesn't mean you don't have to do nothing. Something is required of us. Turn to your Bibles, James 2nd chapter, the 17th verse. We're almost done. James 2 and verse 17. See, it's good that God's spoken to you. And it's good that you have faith. But you're going to have to put some action behind that faith. James, the 2nd chapter and the 17th verse, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. See, dead meaning that faith, it was once alive, but if you're not willing to put no action behind it, it can't work being alone.
That's right.
See, wherever you are in your life, you have to keep moving forward. See, it's one thing to know what God says, it's another thing to have faith, but are your actions lined up with what God wants you to do?
Amen.
If God is speaking to you because you have a relationship with Him and you like God, okay, I believe you, there's going to be time where you have to take action. And sometimes it's hard to take action because it don't look like God can do it and He won't move how He says He's going to move. I'm going to give you another quick story in the Bible about a man named Naaman. Naaman was the general of an army.
Come on.
And by all accounts,
tell it.
the Bible said he was honorable and gave him all kind of nice things to say about him. So Naaman was a leper, though. A leper. His skin was messed up. I know I got messed up skin. It's kind of ironic. You're like, whoa, okay. This is... But I'm like, I'm not a leper. Naaman was a leper. Yeah. She said it's a tattoo. No. Yeah. So Naaman was a leper. And so back then, you a leper, man. It's like, I'm straight on you kind of thing. So the handmaid went to his wife and said, hey, have him go. There's a prophet named Elijah, and have him go there, and he'll be healed. Uh-huh. So Naaman like, okay, all right, I'm gonna go. And they put everything in order, and he went to see Elijah. He went. And he went marching. He's like, look, I'm going to get healed. He had some faith that was going to happen. And he felt good. He's like, look, okay, this is from God. This is the first thing. The second thing is now I got faith. And now he made his way to be able to go see Elijah. And it wasn't an easy trip to go do.
Amen.
But see, Elijah wouldn't even come out to see him. He sent an assistant and said, go tell him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times and he'll be all right. See, when you don't think that's the way you still saw God doing it, a lot of times we don't want to do it.
Amen.
So he got mad. Uh-huh. This man of faith, he was going, he's like, God's going to heal me. And he's like, you want me to go to the Jordan River? Man, back home, we got rivers way better than that. And you want me to go to the Jordan River?
Uh-huh.
Like, are you kidding me? And so he got mad, and he was on his way home. He like, I ain't got time for this. This man could have came out and saw me. And his assistant went to him and said, hey, man, if the guy had asked you to do something hard, he would have did it. But he asked you to do something easy, why not? So he went into the Jordan River and said, forget it, begrudgingly. See, his faith was kind of like, it was a little shaky at that point. He goes down the first time, and he's probably like, man, all right. 2 and 3. He probably like, man, what am I wasting my time for? But see, when he came up on a 7th time, he was healed. See, that might not mean nothing to you, but what it means to me is that God doesn't do things how we necessarily want him to do it. How we see the healing is not how God has to do it. Right? See, God doesn't need to have Elijah come pray for you. If you have some faith, even if it gets shaky and you take action, like you believe God anyway.
Come on now.
See, God's been telling you you're going to start a business, and you won't even get a business license.
Right. Right.
The easy part. God's been telling you you're going to get a job, but you won't even apply for one. You're like, God, you said I'd get one, so that means I don't have to do nothing. There's something required of us.
Amen.
You have to do something. You have to take action. See, God tell you he's going to heal your body. No, God tell you, hey, you know what? I'm going to help your body. You overweight. You cannot eat Twinkies all day long and think he's going to move. You got to take action. Lord, I know you can do it. I eat Twinkies and all. We have to do something.
Amen.
We have to move. And a lot of times, we don't want to do anything, but we want God to do everything.
That's right.
We have to move. We have to take action. Whatever it is in your life that you're looking for from God, you have to take action.
Amen.
Whatever it is that you want in your life, that thing you ask God for, you have to take action.
Amen.
Our last scripture we're going to go to, Psalms 37. 37th chapter of Psalms. And we're going to start with verse 4. Psalms 37. Look in that index if you need to. It's bad when a chapter's small. So you can't skim to them when it's small. Psalms pretty big. You might be able to, wrangle through it. When it's small, he starts talking about Titus or something. You're like, man, you'll never find out. No. Psalms 37, the 4th chapter. 37th chapter, starting 4th verse. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Yes.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen?
Amen.
See,
amen.
That thing that you asked for in the beginning, if you take these steps, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you say, God, the very first thing, you said, if you establish a relationship with him, right? If you establish your relationship with him, and you start doing his will and his work, and you have faith, and you take action,
that's right.
He'll give you
yes,
the thing
will.
That you desire.
Yes,
whatever it is that you're holding on
yes,
to. But we got to take action.
Amen.
We got to move. It's going to require something for you. It's going to require that you be a little bit uncomfortable.
Amen.
The biggest thing, the craziest thing about church, and I see why some people give up on church, is because they're like, look, man, God, I've been doing it, and nothing. Man, I'm doing it for no reason. See, when you start thinking that, you miss your blessing.
That's right.
You miss what God has
yes,
for you.
Yes, yes.
See, I don't care what you've done.
Come on,
it don't matter.
Come on,
let me. But you know what? I skipped over this, but I want to say it anyway because I think a lot of times we forget. See, Jesus Christ came on this earth, but he had a lineage.
Yeah,
right. I'm going to give you some popular people in the lineage of Christ. I don't have it with me, so I'll do it off memory. Maybe I don't skip over. Abraham and his wife decided, no, God, you gonna give us a kid? Abraham decided, and his wife said, well, God, it must not have been hell. So instead of him and his wife, he had the baby with the handmaid. They decided they was going to help God out. Now, this is in lineage to Christ.
Uh-huh.
Right? The next person, so I'm just slipping my mind, the next person is David. David was a guy after God's own heart. David, listen. Everybody, I guess everybody just had kids. This is what David did. David saw Bathsheba and said, I'm going to do something I ain't supposed to do. She got pregnant. So he tried to get the husband to cover it up. Like, come home and, you know, sleep with your wife's kids. Come on home and, you know, and sleep with your wife. Right? And the husband didn't do it. He's like, man, we got a battle to do.
That's right.
So David, like, look, man, all right, he won't do it. I'm going to put him on the front line to get killed. So he put him on the front line in war, this man after God's own heart, so he'd get killed and it would cover up David's wrongs.
Uh-huh.
This is in the lineage of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Jacob tricked his brother out of his birthright so he could be first in line.
Uh-huh.
Jacob was a deceiver.
Uh-huh.
He was a storyteller.
Yeah,
not in
yeah, yeah.
good way. This is the lineage of Christ. So I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been.
Come on.
God can move you.
Amen, amen.
But you have to put aside all that stuff, and you got to stop wearing that. See, if it's good enough for Christ to be in their lineage, it's good enough for you and me. See, God will still speak to you. Yeah, you did something dirty you weren't supposed to do. You did something that all this other stuff. We all have.
Come on now. Come
listen,
on.
Get over it.
Come on.
You
now.
You can still have a relationship
yes.
with God.
Yes. Amen. Come on now.
Listen, and those are some of the famous people in the lineage.
Right.
Think about some of the people that weren't.
Right.
I ain't gonna meddle and talk about it, but you never know.
Now.
What's going on? And you worried about what you did a year ago, last night, 3 years ago? Turn it over to God.
Yeah.
Delight yourself in him and
yes.
watch him move for you. See, he'll move for you.
Yeah.
You just wait, I think he will.
Yeah.
But you got to have faith that he's going to move.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody that knew what it was like just to have that faith.
Come on now.
But they have to take action.
Come on now.
And you got to move. See, it's hard when you got to move and do something. What if we delight ourselves in him? He'll move for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Stand on your feet and give God some praise.